Reading today is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The second reading today is from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Here ends the lessons.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 37. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If you are not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Here's the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church, feel free at this time. Lord, we thank you for your word, the word that you inspired, the word that you can open up to us so we may interpret it in the right way. So we ask that this morning, Lord, that you would open up your word to us, so it would speak to our hearts and spirits. Amen. Alrighty. A little bit of shortened worship this morning, a little abbreviated because of the annual meeting, and I have to head over to St. John's. But, worship is not confined to Sunday mornings, right? My life goes on in endless song, right? And that should be the lifestyle that we're living, giving all glory to God, all praise and honor to him. Alrighty. So this week, Christ our King. This was inspired on Monday while I was watching the inauguration. And I was thinking about that. People that are in power. When power is given to a person, that's a dangerous thing. We're all human. We're all susceptible to, being influenced by power to make wrong choices. And luckily, we live in a country where there's a system of checks and balances. We have the three parts of government that can overwatch each other. If one starts getting out of line, they can be suppressed by that too. And thank you, Lord, for that. I would not want a king or a dictator. I would not want someone to have absolute power. There would be extreme danger in that. Because power corrupts, as they say, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We see it with kings. All throughout the Old Testament, some king would get power, and in throughout history as well, too, and even non-biblical kings, obviously. And that would they would just have that power and authority, and it goes to their head. We see it with dictators, Kim Jong-un and others, right? Throughout history and today, Stalin. And that absolute power, when a human gets it, they start using it for their own ends, of course. Even those with good intentions. We've seen people over the years that enter into politics as a servant. They want to go and serve others with great intentions. But once they get to the place of power, it can get a hold of them. And there's a danger in that. Again, they're corrupted by political forces, by greed, by power itself. And this is why we need to pray for our leaders. Pray for your leaders. Even, you know, the ones that you back up, but even the ones that you don't, pray for them. Because there are incredible spiritual forces in work in centers of power, like Washington, D.C. You can just imagine the spiritual battles taking place there. Wow. We also see this with sports and music stars. They get fame. Next thing you know, their lives start to, you know, even if they start out with good morals, many times you start to see it go down. Or even with lottery winners, you know, they say that, you know, the money will corrupt a person. They start out as a, you know, multi-billionaire, and then years later they're destitute or something like that. And they say it corrupts you. I guess I've always thought I'd be willing to volunteer for an experiment on that, perhaps. But since I don't buy lottery tickets, you know, that's not going to happen, all right? Just to see if we could resist that or to use it for good, right? So what's God's system? What's his design then for leaders? We see it in the Old Testament. You know, the first major one, I suppose, was Moses, who was leading a number of people, didn't feel that he was worthy, that he was able, that he was gifted enough, but God used him. He surrounded him with other people that could help as well. His brother Aaron, of course, to speak for him. And then he appointed judges later on to take some of the workload off of him. But that was a good idea. Joshua then took over after Moses. He's a great military leader and was now tasked with doing all kinds of governing, which he may or may not have liked. Yeah, maybe that wasn't his gift, but again, he could surround himself with competent people, hopefully. After that, we had 400 years of judges, the judges. And some were great military leaders. Some were great administrators. Some were warriors, like I said. Some were prophets. But they were not the ultimate authority. They were appointed by God to lead the people, but God was the ultimate authority. They had limited power. They did leading, but in other things, if there's a legal matter, they would turn it over to the elders. If there was a religious matter, they turn it over to the priests. But the succession of judges, then they did their job and they led Israel. But the people weren't satisfied with that. Samuel being the last judge, and during his judgeship, if you will, it was coming to an end. Samuel was getting old. And the people said, "We want a king. All these nations around us have kings. We want to have a king as well." Well, Gideon, one of the judges, had been asked to be a king. He said, "No, don't want that. I can see that too. We really wouldn't want that responsibility and that power." But in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says, "All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, 'You are old, your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have.'" So they thought that was going to be the solution. Alrighty. "So give us a king to lead us." And this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him. Now here's where God's speaking. This is the important part, right? Because we got these humans that want a king. But what's more important, what we think or what God says? Absolutely what God says. Absolutely more important. The Lord told him, "Listen to all the people are saying to you. It is not that they have rejected, but they have rejected me, God, as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you." Okay, "Warn them solemnly," it says, "and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. If a human king gets into power, what's going to happen?" So Samuel took these words and told them to the people. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons, and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they'll run in front of his chariots. Some he'll assign to be commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. This wasn't happening under the judges, but a king would start conscripting, right? Conscripting, filling his army with people. He'll take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He'll take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He'll take a tenth of your grain and all of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants, the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will take for his own use. He'll take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you'll cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. So this is God's warning that a human king is going to start conscripting people as armies. He's going to take their daughters as servants. He's going to take the best of their cattle, the best of their harvest, and even their lands for his own. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we'll be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and to fight our battles. Well, the king would use them to fight his battles, obviously. He's not going to go out and do that. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Let them learn the hard way. Then Samuel said to the Israelites, everyone go back to your own town. Okay, having the absolute power in one person's hand, God's saying, or showing us the dangers of that. And that's not just for that time, it's for today as well. And again, we have a three branches of government that keep each other in check. Thank you, Lord, for that. Representative people that we, or elected people that go represent us. And that should listen to the constituents and answer them, right? Should. Alrighty, we've got some wonderful ones, don't get me wrong. There's some great people that are doing it in the right way for the right reasons. And we thank you, Lord, for them. And we pray for the rest. Okay, so what followed then? A succession of kings. We had King Saul. We had King David. Pretty good. You know, he had human things going on, of course. We had a number of them. And throughout then, the rest of the Old Testament, we see the kings that did what was right in the sight of the Lord and those that did not walk in his ways. What were the majority? The ones that did not walk in his ways. Every once in a while there'd be hope. There's a good king, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 and a good one. And you could just follow that progression through there. But even the good ones, well, they're human. They're human. We all are. We all are. But it would be nice to have a king who wasn't human, right? And that's what we heard about in the gospel today, where Jesus is in front of the authority there, Pontius Pilate. Of course, he's been wrongly accused of a number of things brought there. The people wanted a king, ultimately got this one, but they rejected him. When the right king came along, the perfect king, he was rejected by his own people. Pilate summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Well, more than a king. He's the Messiah and a king, right? A political leader and also our, what do you say, religious faith leader, but I mean God's appointed leader. The answer to everything. And they continue their conversation, but Jesus ultimately says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not. My kingdom is from another place. Yeah. And someday we get to be a part of that. I can't wait. Okay, it's going to be incredible. Jesus answered, you say I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. He's going to be the ultimate king. His kingdom is going to be wonderful. Now, his kingdom, of course, has not come in its fullness yet, but it will. In 1 Timothy, we hear also mention of how he's going to reign. And this is incredible. Now, this part in 1 Timothy, it sort of tells us what we're supposed to do until the king comes, right? We're in this waiting period right now. We're waiting. We're waiting. We know that he's coming. We're waiting. What are we to do in the meantime until the return of the king? That was the third book in the Lord of the Rings series too, wasn't it? The return of the king. I don't know if that was intentional on Tolkien's part. But we're in that phase where we're waiting for the king to return. Alrighty. But you, man of God, flee from all this, these worldly things, right? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Do what's right, right? Do what's right. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the early church, when someone became a Christian, they had to go through a period where they're learning about the Christian church, and they weren't allowed to be a member until they'd gone through this. They understood everything, and they said, I'm going to devote my life to Christ, and then they could be baptized in. All righty. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. Again, we don't know when. But in the meantime, let us be faithful. In the meantime, let us pursue righteousness, godliness, and faith, and bring others in as well to tell them about him. He continues, God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, right? We're going to be living under a king who is perfect. No human is, but this king will be. Who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. All right. So that's what we're looking forward to. Earthly leaders, like I say, pray for them. It's a tough job. I don't want it. Anybody else want it here? I don't know. Maybe some people do. We all have different gifts. Some have administrative gifts, and they have that ability to be a leader they want to be. That's great. They're born for that, right? But as humans, yeah, it's a tough one. Okay. So we get that little preview then, as we heard Swede read in Daniel today. And this is describing this, what's in Daniel, just correlates right with what's in Revelation. I mean, it's boom, same thing. We're going to back up slightly. And in this vision that Daniel has, as I look, thrones were set in place. And this is just fun to imagine this as we read it, to visualize it. Thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. God the Father on his throne, right? His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was light white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Yeah, the Ancient of Days on that throne, tens of thousands times tens of thousands before him. This is the king, right? But there's one other here. In my vision that night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Here we're talking Jesus. He liked that title, Son of Man. He used it. He's talked about when the Son of Man would come again in glory. He was definitely claiming that title, the Son of God and Son of Man. Coming with the clouds of heaven. Yes, when he does come again, it's going to be with the clouds of heaven. So you get the shout of angels and the blast of trumpets, right? Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was the one that was worthy, right? He was given authority, ultimate authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, right? It's been given to him who is worthy, to Jesus, our King. Glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. They're going to fall down before him. They're going to worship him as the ultimate. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Evil tries to destroy the works of good. Evil will corrupt earthly people and earthly kings, earthly politicians. But Jesus is incorruptible. He is pure. He is the one that is going to destroy the evil instead. He's going to set up this enduring kingdom, this enduring kingship where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And we get to be a part of that. We look forward to that, Lord. We want to be that. We are your people. We follow you as our King, Lord. In the meantime, help us to live lives that point to you. Allow us to offer ourselves up, Lord, that you can live through us to bring others into this, that they can serve the one and only King as well and have their names written in the book of life. So when this happens, we will be judged worthy because of what Jesus has done. So thank you, Lord, that you are incorruptible, that you are the ultimate King, Lord. Amen.